stuff. Okay, it's going. Is it all right now? You okay?
Yeah, it's all fine.
So basically, when the ash was moved originally to when it was considered unsafe, they started moving the ash from Bellazan straight to the Collet, to layers which they called cells, which were basically lined with ruberoid or some sort of liner. Then you had a layer of ash, a layer of sand, a layer of ash and so forth. And then when that cell was full, they'd seal it. They'd build another cell on top of it. And that's the hill you see below the incinerator. It's made up of a series of ash pits. And they started moving them along the rock bund as well, to make the hills. And they were going to eventually make the hill so high it would meet the round tower at the top of the gardens there, but it hasn't quite got up to there. So you have raw ash then in those pockets. And what happens with those, once a year they have to vent them off and take the liquid out of it because the rainwater gets in and they have to suck it out. And some of those early ones, we believe, are leaking off the bottom. In fact, the engineers agree with us at one point that they were, in fact, leaching off the bottom. So because they're old, and the original liners got degraded, they're coming into the sea now. So, and not very, hopefully not very fast, but there is this constant trickle of, toxins going into the sea. And what, environments say is that it's not a problem because of the dilution factor, and it may very well be. But what was a problem, and what has been a problem this year, or last year, and was a problem 10 years ago, was the act of actually pumping the stuff into the sea manually, because they had no way to go with it. Mm. And the same thing happened at Horizon. They let the stuff go into the sea via a marina, manually, because they didn't know what to do when the tide came in. And on both occasions, it was a tidal event. It's to do with high tides. It's to do with the suction of the hydro pneumatic forces that arrive underneath the Collet when you get a big high tide that sucks this stuff out. And on both cases, it was to do with contractors. And on both cases, it was to do with huge public, huge capital projects for the public purse, if you like, paid for by the public purse. Now, our problem has been that we've always been told that if there's any pollution on a building site, it will be stopped immediately. But when it happens with these two huge contracts, it hasn't been stopped immediately, and the contractors have been allowed to move it on. On both occasions, there have been investigations, and on both occasions, there have been either warning letters, and on the last occasion, a sort of minor fine to the development company Horizon. But our problem with all this is that it doesn't seem to be equitable that with a large project run by the states or a company that's employed by the states, they are allowed to do this sort of stuff, whereas a private contractor, you know, wouldn't get away with it. And it just defeats me that the other thing is they say that there is no harm was seen, no harm was caused. And there is a central problem which we have to address here, and that is the one of the definition of harm to the environment. Now, would you say, if I was to pour a bottle of bleach down the drain or a gallon of oil from my car, if I emptied the oil and I was changing the oil and I was to pour a gallon of oil down the drain, would you say that I was in breach of environmental rules? Would you say that?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. So, I put that to the regulator some years ago, and he said, yes, definitely, you'd be in breach. So I said, okay, fine. So when your contractor pours thousands of tons of toxic waste into the pit and it goes to sea, why is that not a breach of your rules? And he said, I see where you're coming from. Well, the thing is, you see, we could find no damage to the environment. I said, well, where did you test? You should test at the point of entry. No, he said, we test upstream there, and we tested 8 feet below the water. We hung pots with whelks in, and I said, well, the thing is, what their testing regime is, if they cannot see any harm to the environment further down the scale, further down the line, then it hasn't happened, or it's a non-event. But it's a common sense that if you do something like you pour, I've frozen again, haven't I?
Yeah.
You can get enough out of that, can't you?
I wish, but sadly not.
What do you want to know? That's the point really that we have to make.
Mm.
How far into that did you get?
Bit where you said that we shouldn't test on the point of entry.
Yes. We should test them. Yeah, that's it's crucial, this, isn't it, really? I mean, it's critical. It's really something that, you know, we got COVID virus and so forth, but this goes on forever.
Mm.
And I cannot understand, and if somebody could explain to me, someone can explain to you why it's illegal for you to pour oil down the road. But if a contractor does it because it's there and they don't know what to do with it, so they flush it out. Why is that okay? And why don't they test it at the point of entry? Why do they test it sort of miles away and test the water, which is really what it's all about. That's our big problem. The problem is this lack of common sense communication. This is why we want an environmental regulator, an independent one.
Yeah.
I know you're not recording this, but, you know, that's it, basically. Yeah. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I can see why you'd be frustrated, but are you okay if we do try this one more time?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have to switch off and switch on again?
I feel like that's probably the only way. So
yeah, go on then. I'll quit it out and you